thank you for your name, Lord, to be reminded of who you are and your character, Lord, to be able to celebrate in this season your name, Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, we thank you for being with us even in this moment. We thank you for your strength each day. We thank you for making the way for us to walk in relationship with you, to know your voice, to know your presence. We just pray, Lord, today that as we invite your Spirit to come and to speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would open up your word to us. Lord, that we would be able to reflect upon the Christmas story and Lord, gain something new for our hearts and our lives. Lord, that we might trust you and walk in obedience and be used by you to be a blessing, Lord, to those around us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, the children can be dismissed to Children's Church. Next Sunday, the kids choir, that they've been practicing, they're going to be singing next week in the service. So we definitely want to encourage you to come back to hear that. You know, this week, we're continuing in our series and looking at the different characters from the first Christmas story, the real Christmas story, and the foundation of what we're doing here and now, and remembering not only Christ coming as a baby, but also remembering his life and what he has secured for us in his cross and in his resurrection. Today, as I was preparing, we're dealing with Joseph today. It's amazing how God orchestrates things. Dave and Lisa have been in a long journey in the process to arrive to this Thursday with the Gotcha Day with little David. And they had asked me to read a letter from them. And I told Dave this morning, I said, I'm going to read the letter, but you need to know it fits so well with the morning service that it's going to be part of the message today. Because I think it gives a perfect illustration of those challenges when God speaks to you and you sense God wanting you to do something, and yet it involves a risk. It involves sacrifice. It involves trusting in a way that scares you a little bit. Is there a little bit of fear in your story, maybe? I want to read their story and just kind of dive into our looking at Joseph today. We are going to be looking eventually at Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. I'm going to read Dave and Lisa's letter and just encourage you to hear this and not just to celebrate with Dave and Lisa, but to just see the faith aspect of how they wrestled with God's call in this issue. This past year has been an amazing journey for our family. We wanted to share some of the highlights from our adoption story so that God may be glorified. Dave and I were pretty content with our comfortable lives in the summer of 2011. We had two daughters and a comfy little home, and we thought we were done having children. And we even took surgical measures to prevent any further pregnancies. While on a family vacation to the beach, I was reading Choosing to See by Mary Beth Chapman, and the idea of adoption was planted there. On our way home, I mentioned the thought to Dave, and he entertained the idea for about a minute. And then we went on with our long drive. On October 2011, we met with a well-known Christian adoption agency and found the prices to be daunting, and there were other factors that closed the door for us. After much discussion, Dave asked about doing a local adoption through a foster care system. I immediately shot the idea down, but as time passed and everywhere we turned, we'd be reminded about adoption. The radio, books, God's Word, even the Wendy's drive-through selling coupons supporting foster adoption. The list goes on. For months, we discussed adoption on and off. We researched it, we fought about it, and then avoided the subject altogether. One night, I got so upset about it. Excuse me. I felt so frustrated with God, I just wanted him to tell me exactly what he wanted from me. I opened the book, Forgotten God by Francis Chan, to the exact place that talked about a couple who had fostered 32 children and had adopted 16. I broke down and cried and immediately felt like I had to tell someone about this. Dave was already asleep, so I started writing an email to our then pastor, John. I've never felt God's presence so strongly. I was shaking, while writing, I wanted to be held accountable for this and actually follow through and be obedient. In January 2012, Dave went to the Dominican Republic for a missions trip, And he came home saying we needed to adopt because we had been making excuses like our house is too small or we don't have enough money. He was convinced that God was leading us to adoption and we needed to start taking action. Eventually, I agreed to try our local foster care agency, as well as long as we were just doing straight adoption and no foster care. It took emphasis and no. You can't see that on the print, but it took over a year to finalize our paperwork. We took our time. We were in no hurry because, to be honest, we were scared and were trying to delay. The first week in January 2014, I started having strong feelings that I wanted another child. I really wanted a baby boy. We felt like adoption through the foster care system was never going to happen, and the chances of getting a baby seemed slim. So we started discussing and researching other options, and we realized in a few days none of these options worked for us. The next day, I spent some time in morning prayer asking God, what are these feelings and why so strong and why now? That same day in the afternoon, I got a call from the foster agency. They needed a foster home for an infant who was a little premature, and they said, we know that you're not signed up for foster care, but we wanted to ask anyway. We have no idea how long this baby will be in your care. His name is David. I called Dave and told him this crazy news, and he couldn't believe it. We met baby David at St. Vincent's Hospital, and the next day he was brought to our home. When I was telling Dave's mom about all that had happened, she was blown away, and she had told me that she had been calling the baby David even before she knew his name or gender. We were praising God for these blessings. So a few months went by, and life was pretty hectic. Most days we were just trying to keep up with all of David's doctor appointments, and fostering was a roller coaster of emotions. There was a lot, and there were many tears that first several months. But God and our family and our church family helped us get through those times. We have always said that little David blesses us way more than we bless him. He has been the most relaxed and happy baby and worth every second of hard work. We will be adopting David on December 18th, just one day after his first birthday and one week before Christmas. We are like kids at Christmas, just waiting for the day. His name is Casey, and it's official. We couldn't imagine our lives without him. God is so faithful, and we hope that David's story will speak to people about how God will give you what you need for the tasks that he gives you. And we want to thank our church family for all of your love, support, and your prayers. Blessed beyond words, Lisa and David Casey. You know, as I think about their story, and I'm walking with Dave more so, but hearing through Dave, Lisa struggles as well with that, and that roller coaster of emotion, and just all the questions and all the anxiety that came over this last year or so. I realize that, you know, there are times in our life that God calls us to do something, and for many of you it may never be foster care or adoption, but there are times that God's going to speak to you and give you something that he wants you to do in obedience to him. And you hear that and you sense God calling, and there's fear, insecurity, and all those feelings that this just can't be. And I want us as we not only celebrate with Dave and Lisa and little David and the girls this week, I just want to encourage you to think for a moment in your own life. And some questions I have on the screen. Have you ever sensed God calling you to do something and you struggled trusting him? Show of hands. Yeah, most of the time, if you're honest, there are times where you sense God calling you to do something. You know what it is that God wants you to do, and whether it's fear, insecurity, all the different things that we might be struggling with, we struggle with taking that leap of faith. We struggle with trusting God to do what he's called us to do. You know, the second question is, have you ever struggled being obedient because you felt inadequate? Any of those ever come in on that? I think you even mentioned that in a letter. As a father, I can't imagine, I mean, I as I've told people that as much training as I've done academically, the two hardest schools I ever signed up for was marriage and parenting. And that struggle of, I mean, there are many days you just think, you know, I don't know if I have what it takes to be the husband, to be the father, to be the man that God, you're calling me to be. We all have those times where we struggle with not feeling like we have enough, that we have what we need to do what God is calling us to do. Sometimes it's not because we feel inadequate, though. I think the other question is, have there been times where you struggled with obedience because you felt that obeying God might cost you too much? That to be obedient to what God was calling you to do is going to have such an impact on your life that somehow you were going to have to let go of something you didn't want to let go of. If you were here a few weeks ago, we looked at the parable, the two parables, the treasure in the field, the hidden treasure in the field, or the pearl of great price, that when we find that thing of great value, that in both of those situations, the man went and sold everything they had to gain that treasure. In that short few verses there, though, we all have that moment of fear, that moment of loss. We look at what we're losing, we don't look at what we're gaining. Today, if you're thinking about maybe what God might be calling you to do, and as we prepare to look at Joseph and his story, I want to encourage you to be honest about the struggle, be honest about the struggle maybe in feeling inadequate, that you don't have enough. You know, I often hear people say that God will never give you more than you can handle. I think when it comes to temptation, that's true. You go look at Hebrews. But I'm actually more and more convinced that God gives us more than we can handle all the time. He gives us more than we can handle on our own, in our own strength, in our own resources. And that's what I see throughout the Scripture, is God gives us more than we can handle on our, in our own, and puts us in a place that we have to trust God, and we have to put our hands in His care. When I look today, we're going to be looking at Joseph. And, you know, Joseph really often is kind of like the afterthought in telling the Christmas story. We look at Mary, we look at the angels, and yet Joseph has such a critical role to play. And I want you to think about potentially put yourself in Joseph's mind. Put yourself in Joseph's shoes and begin to think, what would it have been like? Imagine his own sense at times of inadequacy or trouble trusting God with such an incredible task. Let's go ahead and read verses 18 through 25. Verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." And I want to pause for a second. You know, we read that, and it can be confusing because we think someone gets engaged, they give each other a ring, but the commitment doesn't really start until the wedding day, the true commitment, that it would be more of a marriage contract. And for Mary and Joseph, when they were pledged to be husband and wife, they had a year waiting period. And during that year of engagement, they were considered husband and wife, and yet they didn't live together. They didn't consummate the relationship. They had that year waiting period, and that year waiting period served a very practical purpose for the Jewish people, because it was to demonstrate Mary's purity, that she had not been with any other man. And so you can imagine Joseph's reaction and the feelings Joseph must have had when Mary not only told him that she was pregnant, but then the story of how she had become pregnant. Imagine the emotions and imagine the struggle that Joseph had. We go on, though, you see that basically Joseph could, based on Mary's testimony of being pregnant, she could have actually even lost her life had Joseph handled things a certain way. And yet Joseph demonstrates that he's a man of compassion, and that there's a genuine love and care for Mary, and that he wanted to divorce her quietly so that there would be less shame and there'd be less risk to Mary. And yet in verse 20, it says, "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. We're going to watch a video clip, and again, these clips with the actors are seeking to use a little creativity to try to put yourself in the character's shoes, to understand what it must have been like. And let's go ahead and watch our video today with Joseph.
It was the scariest, most difficult, confusing, exciting, most wonderful day of my life. I mean, when you realize that God is allowing you to be a father, I don't know what to compare that to, you know. And then, on top of that, when it seems that he's deemed you fit to be the stepfather to his son, that's overwhelming. He's perfectly healthy, happy baby boy that came into the world, I guess, just like most every other kid, you know. I get why they call it labor. I mean, since I was 12, I've worked every day of my life, but I've never worked as hard as Mary worked that night. She was amazing. And then not just that night, I mean, through all of it, through the months of people talking about us behind our back, and the week-long journey to Bethlehem. And then we get there, and she takes an ordinary feeding trough and turns it into a cradle. And none of it seemed to faze her. She's amazing. And you know what? Through all of it, I never heard her once ask why. Why? You know, she just did everything God asked her to do. And if she didn't understand why things happened, she knew God was in control. She followed his will. I get it. Man, I get why God chose her. I really do. What I don't understand is why he chose me.
That last phrase, he says, I get why God chose her. What I don't understand is why he chose me. We don't know if Joseph ever had that specific struggle. And yet, if we put ourselves in Joseph's shoes, we can only imagine the struggle he may have felt in feeling inadequate. More than any father, potential father, expecting that first child might feel inadequate. We can understand why he might struggle with the task that God has given him. You know, no matter what God ever asks us to do, most of us, I can say it's pretty safe that none of us will have to do anything like Joseph had to do. Joseph demonstrates in his life an example, I think, that we can follow. And if we, just to pause for a second, he referenced this in the video that he had worked since the age of 12. Joseph, we know, was a carpenter, and more likely a builder. If you look in that part of the world, we understand it's not just wood. He would have worked with stone. He would have been more as a mason, a general builder than anything. But he would have been someone that worked hard, would have been someone that didn't have wealth, wouldn't have had position, All we know with him being the earthly father of Jesus that provided the way for Jesus to be from the line of King David because of the tribe that Joseph was from. But he's not a person that stands out to say, yeah, that's the guy with the resume that needs to raise the Son of God. No position, limited education, not someone you would expect to be given such an incredible task of actually being responsible for God's Son, the Messiah. But, you know, I believe that as we think about that our conversation today of struggling with obedience and struggling with trusting God, I think we can look at Joseph and his life and his example as encouragement to take that leap and to make the choice to trust God, even in those moments that you feel insecure or inadequate, or in those moments that maybe you want to argue with God to say, God, your plan's not going to work. I've done that many times. There are a lot of different ways that we can kind of put on the brakes and not walk in obedience with God. When we look at Joseph, we see he was given an incredible responsibility, an incredible task, and he just trusted God and walked in obedience through the entire process. You know, the reality is we see that God speaks to him through a dream on four different occasions. I was amazed a few years ago when I realized that. I thought it was only a couple times, but it's actually four different times that God speaks through a dream to Joseph. And in each of those situations, Joseph not only hears, but then he walks in obedience. He responds to what God tells him to do. And as we think about Joseph and his example, the one thing that leaps off the page of Joseph's story is that he was obedient. God called him to do something and gave specific instructions along the way, and Joseph again and again walked in obedience. In the passage we just read, Matthew 1, 24 through 25, imagine that night of turmoil while he slept, wondering what he was going to do. He had made the decision in his mind of divorcing Mary quietly, to be compassionate to her, but not believing her story. And yet God sends an angel to speak to Joseph, to tell the true story of who this child is. And it says in verse 24, it says, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph was obedient even from the very beginning of the story, where he takes Mary as his own wife. He names the child Jesus. Both of those are direct steps of obedience that Joseph took in relation to what God told him through the angel in that dream. And we move over to chapter 2, Matthew 2, 13 through 14. We see later, and this is after, we already looked a couple weeks ago at the wise men, but after the Magi come and they bear their gifts, and then they leave. It says in Matthew 2, 13, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. So again, Joseph hears the instruction. He hears the instruction and he's obedient. He packs up. I mean, think about what he's being asked to do. This is not just a trip to the grocery store. This is taking your family, taking everything that you have, and leaving. But we know that by this time, they would have been in those early stages of making their home and setting up their home. This is a couple years after Jesus was born. They have their home, and they're leaving their home. They're leaving their extended family. And they're going to protect Jesus. They're on their way to Egypt. Joseph was again obedient. Verse 19, we see Joseph then again is obedient when he returns from Egypt. It says in verse 19, but when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child, his mother, and went to the land of Israel. So he had that time, and even in the previous instruction, he said, go, take him to Egypt, and wait until I tell you for that time that you can return. And so when he hears again the instruction to return, he now packs everything up, takes his family to return back to his homeland. And then along the journey home, he hears the news that Herod's son, Archelaus, was reigning in Herod's place. And it says in verse 22, "But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee." So this fourth time now, we have that he's not only taking him back to Israel, but now God is giving him a very specific instruction to go, and he goes to Galilee to raise his family. You know, I thought about that, it's like, well, you know, God sometimes, when God asks us to do things, most of us don't get dreams. God speaks through dreams, I believe that, still speaks through dreams, and yet most of us don't have this type of an encounter, and yet I think most of us don't have this type of a task. And yet when we are asked by God to do something, and God asks us, even just in entering a relationship with Christ, and entering into a relationship that is built on trust, and trusting what he has done for us, we have to make the choice to walk in obedience, to make the choice to obey. And I, throughout our entire walk with God, from the point we enter into relationship with God to the point that we walk with him each day, it's a relationship of walking in obedience, not only to God's word, but to listening to his spirit and his guidance in our life each day. Joseph gives us an incredible example of a man who just simply obeyed God. When we think about the way that he obeyed God, though, we see, I think there's two kind of sub-points here. Joseph has an incredible example of trusting God. I mean, just think for a second. Imagine the ways that Joseph had to trust God. I mean, it would have been easy to see how Joseph might have felt inadequate. It would be easy to see how Joseph might have struggled with believing what God was asking him to do. And yet we see him trusting God every step of the way. We see him trusting God to believe what most people would say was impossible. We see God, see him trusting God even though he knew that people would be talking behind his back and questioning his reputation. He trusted God to protect his family from a king set out to destroy the child. He had to trust God moving to a foreign land. He had to trust God in providing all that he needed to care for Jesus. And he had to trust God to protect his family as he returned home. Every step of the way, Joseph had to put his trust in the God who called him to be the earthly father of Jesus. I have to wonder if Joseph maybe shared one of my life verses is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths." When I tell people that's my life verse, I always have to clarify. It's not because I master that. It's that typically when I get off course, it's because I'm trying to fix things myself. I'm trying to lean and trust my own understanding rather than just trust God and walk in obedience. As you think about your own life and as we reflect on Joseph, is there an area in your life that you're just not, the reason you're not being obedient is because you're not really trusting him. You're not willing to just rest in God and walk in obedience because you don't trust his plan or you don't trust his care. Joseph trusted God and walked in obedience. We also, though, see that Joseph, in walking in obedience and embracing the role that God had given him, he demonstrates an incredible willingness to sacrifice. And as a parent, I get that. Our kids may not understand this, but as a parent, we're called to sacrifice all the time, where we put the needs of our kids ahead of our own. And yet, Joseph is called to sacrifice in a way that I can't even imagine. I mean, he sacrificed, again, his reputation, accepted the scorn. He had to leave his family, had to leave his home. You have to wonder if he had these plans of a nice, quiet, peaceful life, nice carpenter shop set up, or building, or a construction company, building, raising his family. And yet God gave him an incredible task. I have to wonder, I mean, typically when someone's entering into marriage and they're beginning their future, it's a time of dreaming. And so we're young adults. You may be in that place in your life that you're kind of dreaming about what your future is going to be. And so I have to think that Joseph had an idea of what his future was going to be. He had an idea of what his future was going to be and what he wanted out of life. And I have to wonder if he had to lay some of that aside to accept what God the Father had given him to do. The reality is, though, that any time we sacrifice, what we gain is always greater than what we sacrifice. Joseph sacrificed a lot, and yet he was given the privilege of raising the Son of God, of being a part of God's larger story of what he was doing in the world. Yet I also think Joseph, understanding that Jesus was not just an ordinary child, but that he was the Messiah who had come to save the world. It reminds us, too, that when we talk about sacrifice, as a Christian, when we talk about sacrificing anything in our life, it's not only understanding that what we get is always better than what we give up, but we also understand that we sacrifice in response to what Christ has done for us. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That verse, I know I've quoted many times, reminds us, it says, therefore, looking back at all of what Paul has just described, what Jesus has done for us, in light of what Christ has done for us on the cross and what he's done for us in his resurrection, when we look at the sacrifice that Christ made for us, the only reasonable response is to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, to lay down our lives to him. Joseph was willing to risk. Joseph had to trust. He had to sacrifice and walk in obedience with God. And I just want to, in closing today, I want you to think for a moment about the role those three things have in our relationship with God. From the beginning, when we enter into relationship with Christ, to each step of the way, trust, obedience, and sacrifice are critical. And if you look at the next screen, we think about trust. When you come to faith in Christ, we have to make the choice to trust what Jesus has done for us. We look at the cross and we understand that the gospel says that no matter what we do, we can't earn forgiveness. We can't earn a relationship with God. We have to come to that place that we realize that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. And we look at who Jesus is, and we look at what Jesus did on the cross. He took our sin upon himself, died in our place, so that we, by putting our trust in him, can not only receive forgiveness, but be restored to a relationship with God, our Creator. We have to make the choice to trust God. When we enter into relationship with Christ, it's a choice of trust. Not trusting our own works, not trusting our own ability, but trusting who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. It's also an issue of obedience. The first step for every Christian in obedience is repentance. Now, repentance means that if I'm walking this way in my life, I'm making the decisions, calling the shots, and God gets my attention. To repent means that I turn around and I see God's way and I begin to walk toward him. And I begin to walk in obedience to what he has called me to. When we come to faith in Christ, it's not just about trusting who Christ is and what he's done for us. It's about repenting, turning away from the life that we lead on our own, where we call the shots, where we make the decisions apart from God, and it's turning to Christ to let him be Lord in our life. But it's also an issue of sacrifice. We lay down our lives to follow Christ. Jesus said on more than one occasion that if we're not willing to take up our own cross and follow him, we're not worthy. We need to be willing to lay down our lives so that we might embrace Christ and all that he has for us. If you're here today and you've never made that choice to trust Christ, I pray that this Christmas, if not today, this Christmas would be the year that you make the choice to put your faith and your trust completely in Jesus. And that he didn't just come as a child. He came and lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for you. The question is not, do you believe it, but have you made the choice to put your full trust and your full confidence in who Jesus is and what he's done for you? That's how we take a step of walking into a relationship with Christ. We trust who Jesus is and what he's done, and we make the choice to obey and walk in repentance, to turn away from the life that we live on our own, to trust him and to walk in obedience with him, and then to lay down our lives to follow. But the reality is that's not just the starting point. It's not just the starting point. Whether you've walked with Christ for a year, whether you've walked with Christ for 5 years, 10 years, we have to continue in trust. We have to continue in obedience and be willing to sacrifice. And I just want to ask you, if you're here today and you know that you're struggling, there's something in your life that you know that you've been struggling with, that you say, I know God wants me to do something, and I'm, for whether it's inadequacy, whether it's just this inner fight with God, whatever it might be. If you know God has called you to do something and you're struggling with being obedient, I want to just ask you some questions. What is God calling you to do? Are you willing to trust him? Even if you don't understand. And are you willing to sacrifice so that God can fulfill his purpose through you? You know, a month or two ago, I had shared a similar message, and some folks wondered if I was going to share my own story of how I arrived in Warren. And yet, I have to tell you that it was definitely one of those moments where in my life that I was not quick to obey. And I had my own arguments with God. I'd been in McKeesport for 15 years, did not see myself leaving, nor did I, being honest, did I want to. And yet God spoke, and I put up the brakes. I wrestled with what that meant for my family. I wrestled with what that meant for me. I wrestled with a lot of things, moving from an urban community to a not quite so urban community. Rural. But you know, God sometimes surprises us and calls us to do things that we don't understand. And in our wisdom, again, why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is my life verse. I was leaning on my own understanding. I remember telling God, God, I'm having effective ministry in an urban context, in an urban community. Why would you call me to leave? That was one of my arguments. And yet I remember when Rob Douglas, when he worked with you guys as a church, he had you complete a profile of the church. And not only a profile of the church, but also a profile of kind of what you sense God leading you to in a pastor. And I remember reading it, and I was just kind of a bit overwhelmed. I shared it with Jana, and she's like, did they write this for you? It was that moment, that first moment, I realized, okay, God may know what he's doing. And I absolutely know God knew what he was doing. And I share that to tell you that, I mean, I look back now and I look and say, not only are you a wonderful congregation, and I feel privileged to be able to love and to serve you and to pastor this church and this community, but I would have missed that had I not been obedient. There's so many times that if we're not listening and with a heart to obey, we can miss something that God has for us. And he doesn't give up on us. He'll speak to us again. But if God is calling you to do something today, I just want to encourage you, don't delay. With my kids, and some of you may have similar reaction with your own kids, there are times where I ask them to do something and I have to explain to them, you know, when you delayed obedience is still disobedience. If you tell your kid to do something and it's 2 hours later, it's still not done, they've still not been obedient. They've not done what they've been asked to do. And often in our relationship with God, sometimes we know what God wants us to do, and we put it off, waiting for that future time. And yet, I want to tell you, if you're delaying doing what God is calling you to do, it's disobedience. If God is calling you to do something, I want to challenge you to remember Joseph and to trust him. Be willing to put yourself out there to where you have to trust in God, and put yourself out there willing to risk, willing to sacrifice to do whatever it is that God wants to do in you and through you. We don't normally do this, but I'm going to ask as I pray today, as the musicians come, if you're here today and you know God has something for you, that you know there's a step of obedience that you need to take and you'd like prayed for, will you just stand? And I'm asking, I'm not going to ask you to come forward at this point. I'm just saying, if you have a need, that you know there's a place where you know God has been speaking to you, you know there's a step you need to take, and you just have to trust him and take that step of obedience, I just encourage you to stand so that we can pray for you. Okay. Why don't we all stand and ask the worship team to come. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord, for the fact that you never call us to something that you don't also empower us to do. Lord, you desire that we walk in complete confidence and trust, not in our own ability, but trust you completely. And I just pray for any person here today that maybe has been wrestling in an area of their life where they know what it is that you want them to do, and they've just been struggling, whether through inadequacy or Lord, sometimes it's even just our will. We think we know better, or we want what we want, not what you want for us. And I just pray that if there's anyone here today that's been struggling with that, that they would make the choice today to be obedient, to trust you, Lord, to surrender whatever that is to you, to follow. And Lord, thank you that you give us the opportunity to be a part of your story in this world, not necessarily in the way Joseph did. And yet you want to not only call us and use us and bless us, you want us to be a blessing to others. And when we walk in obedience with you, Lord, you not only bless our lives, you allow us to be a blessing to others. And we just pray that you would be doing that in and through our lives this day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.